This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi wa tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Begin by asking Allah to aid and assist our brothers and sisters in Palestine, to grant them victory and to end the tyrannical regime that has been oppressing them for the past few decades. It's sad that every year we have to have this discussion. Every year this topic comes up about Palestine and what can we do about it and how do we make sense of what's going on. And there's many levels to this, and we've discussed this in the past. We've discussed the history of Palestine. We've discussed the events that led to the current situation. We've discussed the virtues of Al-Aqsa. Over the past years, these topics have come up over and over again. And I think what we need more than anything right now is some spiritual nourishment on how do we make sense of the world that we are in today and what's happening in the world today. Because Palestine, not just the land, but the people are important. And there are many reasons why whenever Palestine is attacked, Muslims all over the world feel the pain. There are many reasons for this. Number one, obviously, is because it's the Holy Land, right? We have three Holy Lands, Makkah, Medina, and Jerusalem. Palestine being under attack is like Makkah or Medina being under attack. This is our Holy Land. It hurts, right? This isn't something that Muslims can just, you know, say, oh, it's just another land that we lost, which is hurts as well, right? Even if a land is not holy, it still hurts when Muslims lose it. I mean, think about Spain. Muslims lost Spain hundreds of years ago. It still hurts when we think about it, right? But when it's a holy land, it hurts even more. And we've discussed in the past why Palestine is a holy land. It is the land of Masjid al-Aqsa, the first Qibla, the land of the Mi'raj. The Prophet ﷺ was taken in the Isra, in the night journey to Jerusalem to pray with the other prophets and taken for the Mi'raj from Jerusalem. It is the land of the prophets, the land of Jesus, peace be upon him, the land of Dawud and Sulaiman alayhi wasalam. It is the land of the Anbiya. It is the land that Musa alayhi wasalam wished to live in and the land that Yusha alayhi wasalam conquered. It is a land that is linked to our religion in so many different ways. And one narration shows how from the very beginning, Islam was always connected to this land. Because at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jerusalem, at that time it was called Ilia, it was part of the Roman Empire. And it happened that one day, the Caesar of Rome, Heraclius, he was resting in his palace in Jerusalem, in Ilia. And he had a dream. He had a dream, which he interpreted as a prophet is coming from amongst the Arabs who's going to conquer this land. And that's when the famous event takes place where he calls Abu Sufyan and they have that famous dialogue, and he asks Abu Sufyan those questions to prove that this is a true prophet. And he ends the dialogue by saying that if what you are saying is true, then his people will conquer this very land. Think about this, the Heraclius of Rome, the Caesar of Rome, right, Heraclius himself, the Caesar of Rome, who wasn't a Muslim, already understood that this land is going to belong to the Muslims. Even at that point in time, when the Muslims did not yet have true political power, already he knew this land will belong to the Muslims one day. Even though at that time it was part of the largest empire in the world, Rome. And within a few years, Umar ibn Khattab, during his reign, they conquered Jerusalem. And many people don't realize this, but the jihad that was initiated in the time of Umar ibn Khattab in that direction, the primary goal of that jihad was to take Jerusalem. Yes, along the way they took Damascus and Asham and all the other lands, but the goal was Jerusalem because that's the third holy land and it needed to be under Muslim rule. And they wanted to get the third holy land under Muslim rule as quickly as possible, and it remained a Muslim land for the bulk of our history. There've really only been in our history 3 points in our history where Muslims did not rule over Jerusalem. Number one is the beginning, right? Obviously in the beginning, right until the conquest in the time of Umar ibn Khattab, that land was part of the Roman Empire. Number two was during the Crusader era, When the Crusaders came in and they massacred the Muslims, they took over Jerusalem and they ruled it for 90 years. We all know the story, Salahuddin Ayyubi, he saved the day, he came in, he fought them and he took the land back, right? And the third time is now, for the past 70 years, with the Zionist problem. So, Jerusalem has always been linked to Islam. From the beginning of Muslim history, it has always been a holy land, it's been a place of pilgrimage. A place that the Prophet said that a religious journey is only permissible to three destinations, right? The Prophet said a religious journey where you set off to go and pray in a masjid in another land, he said it's only permissible for three masjids. An-Nabawi, the Masjid al-Haram, and Masjid al-Aqsa. Those are the only three places where you can make intention of a religious journey, that you are traveling there to pray in that masjid. That's how important this masjid is to us. That's how important this land is to us. But I want to say that the importance of Al-Aqsa is not just the land. A second reason why Al-Aqsa is important is the people. Who are the people of Palestine today? The people of Palestine today, there are many amazing qualities that they have that the rest of us can admire. Number one is their iman. These are people that no matter what is put against them, they never lose hope in Allah's mercy, they never lose hope in Allah's victory. They are there till the very end. And they will stand and they will stand up against a giant enemy, a David versus Goliath situation, and they will not back down. And we all can learn from their courage. You know, there are many Muslims who are afraid to even speak in favor of Palestine because, oh, they might not get a visa for a vacation in another country. You're thinking about vacations with other people's lives are on the line. This is the level of cowardice we have reached. But the people of Palestine are our role models of courage. The people of Palestine are the last line of defense. The Israelis wanted all of that land. And they will do whatever it takes to take all of that land. And had these people fleeing, had they left the land, had they, and by the way, that's what they're trying to do right now, get them out of that land. They're trying to push them out of that at this very moment. Had they all left that land, then there would be no Palestine. There would be no Palestine, the conquest would be complete. So they are the last line of defense. They are also our Muslim brothers and sisters. And we know that the Ummah is one body. When one part is in pain, we also feel the pain. And many of you may not know this, but a lot of the people of Palestine are the descendants of the Sahaba. Many of the Sahaba, their descendants are in Palestine today. You may ask how and why the Sahaba of Makkah and Medina. Well, when Umar ibn Khattab and his armies conquered Jerusalem, many of the Sahaba decided that's where I want to live. And they moved in and they lived there. They lived in the cities around it. And their children lived there, and their grandchildren. For just generation upon generation, right until today, you can see people there who have their full lineage going back to the Sahaba. These are people of noble lineage. These are the people whose ancestors fought for that land, and they continue to fight for that land today. So this is very important people, and very people who are very close to our hearts. And it's not just about the land, but it's about the people as well. Because if we had Jerusalem, but all these people lose their lives, it will still hurt. The people are as important. A third reason why the situation in Palestine hurts and frustrates Muslims around the world so much, and this is one we don't talk about enough, is that every time something happens in Palestine, it is a reminder to all of us of our own political weakness and what we lost in World War I. You see, the Zionist problem started before World War I. It started in the Ottoman era, when the Ottomans were ruling over that land. The Zionists already existed, and they would try to negotiate with the Ottomans, give us that land. And the Ottoman rulers would tell them, as long as we are around, you can't have this land. This is our land. And the Zionists made a deal with the British during World War I, that should the British conquer the Ottoman lands, they will give that land to them. And so, many of the problems of the Ummah today go back to one event, World War I. Right, World War I was a catastrophe for the Ummah, one that we are still suffering from today. The fact that the issue of Palestine hasn't been resolved means we are still suffering from the aftermath of World War I 99 years later. Think about that. 99 years after the Ottoman Empire was abolished and the British divided up the Ottoman lands amongst their allies, we are still suffering from the consequences of it. And the truth is, we don't have a solution. And this point frustrates us a lot, because especially if you have children, right, you teach your children the glorious history of Islam, the conquest in the time of the Sahaba, the conquest of Spain, you know, the golden age of the Abbasids and the Ottomans and the Umayyads, and how the Muslims ruled over the world, and how they were the leaders of politics and science and mathematics and medicine, and how, you know, they changed the world. And then they look at that and they look at where we are today, and it's hard to fathom, how did the Ummah fall so fast? And how do we not rise up again? Because the Ummah has fallen politically many times in history, but always found its way back up. Right? The Ummah, at many points in history, had lost political power, but they always found their way back, with few exceptions. But for some reason, for the past 99 years, we've been stuck. The Ummah has been stuck in a state. And the truth is, we don't have a solution. There's nothing that I can preach from the minbar that can solve this problem. This is a political problem. At the end of the day, we say that Allah is the one who gives leadership to whom He wills. And this is something that Allah knows best, what is best for us. So I want to end with a message of hope for us all. Because in times like this, it's easy for us to lose hope. It's easy for us to feel helpless. You know, many of us wish we could be there, helping them, doing something physically to change the situation. We wish we had the political power or the military power to do something about this. And it's easy for us to feel hopeless, not just to Palestine, but anywhere in the world where Muslims are being oppressed, and the very fact that Muslims don't have this political power that they have in the bulk of their history. So let us take hope in a few things. Number one, the fact that in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped the Muslims many times through miraculous events. There are many times in our history where it looked like Muslims were going to lose, where they were outnumbered, they were outmatched in terms of weaponry and skills, but they still won. This happened in the Battle of Badr, this happened in the Battle of Yarmouk, this happened in the conquest of Spain, this happened when the Mamluks fought the Mongols. The Muslims, at times where it seemed impossible, they won with the help of Allah. And Muslims can win today with the help of Allah. We should never forget that Allah is the one who is in charge. And Allah is the one who gives kingdom to whom He wills, He takes it away from whom He wills. And He rotates leadership amongst people to test each of them with leadership. And right now, certain people are being tested with leadership and they are failing. And Allah may take it away from them and give it to those who are more worthy of it. So we should never lose hope in Allah's mercy. If you 100% believe that Allah is the one in control of everything, then you will trust that Allah knows best what is best for this ummah. And sometimes even the biggest of tragedies may be what is best for the ummah in the long run. And it may be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through these tragedies, He will cause something good to come out of it later. Because many of the, you know, when you look at our history, it goes through these cycles of tragedies followed by periods of greatness. Right? This is the history of Islam. We look at the early days of Makkah, when Ammar ibn Yasir and his parents were being tortured, and the Muslims couldn't do a thing about it. The same feeling of helplessness, they couldn't do a thing about it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself couldn't do anything about it physically. All he could do was walk up to them and say, "Have sabr, O family of Yasir." That's all he could walk up and say, "Have sabr," because they literally had no political power. Yet within 20 years, the Muslims had grown into a superpower. They had grown into an empire. From where to where in such a short period of time? This really is a miracle that at one point, they had so little power that they couldn't save one family. And within 20 to 30 years, the Romans and the Persians fell to the Muslims. Again, we see this at the time of the Mongols. When the Mongols took over the Muslim world, people thought it was over. The amount of Muslims who died at that point in time is more than what's happening now, perhaps. Right? Really, if you read the stories, it is frightening what the Mongols did to the Muslim world. Entire civilizations destroyed, entire communities wiped out. Rivers flowing with blood. It seemed impossible that the Muslims would ever rise up again. Yet within a few years, the Mamluks defeated the Mongols in Ain Jalut, and a few years later, the Ottomans established their power and fought off the Mongols as well. And even more miraculously, some of the Mongols converted to Islam. And before you know it, Muslims are back in power. So Allah knows best. And there are things outside our control. We put our tawakkul in Allah and we accept that Allah knows what is best. And we ask Allah for victory and we ask Allah for aid. And whenever we are faced with anything overwhelming, whether it's in our personal lives or in global politics or in local situation, always, always remind yourself of hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Say this, anytime you experience any type of anxiety, anytime you feel overwhelmed about anything, whether it's personal or international, say hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Remind yourself that Allah is in control. Allah is in control. Allah knows what is best for us. And that will get you through it. Finally, remind ourselves that those who cause tyranny and oppression on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, do not think that we are unaware of it. Allah says, do not think that we are unaware of those who are tyrannical. Rather, on the day of judgment, they'll be held to account. So sometimes the tyrants, they receive their punishment in this world. But sometimes they receive it only on the day of judgment. And the day of judgment is called just that, the day of judgment. Why? Because on that day, anyone who thought they got away with evil in this world would have to face the full consequences of what they did. And facing the consequences in the afterlife will be much more severe than facing it in this world. So do not think that anyone has gotten away with tyranny. Because the most just will judge them on the last day. And he will judge them harshly. So take solace in the fact that the day of judgment is the day when every tyrant will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, he will be there as Maliki Yawmiddin, the king of the day of judgment, right? And on that day, the king will decide what to do with his tyrants. And none of them will have any power at all. Take solace in that whenever you feel like they are getting away. They are not getting away. Their time will come. If not in this world, in the day of judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help our brothers and sisters in Palestine and all over the world, and to grant them victory, and to remove any of the tyrants that are oppressing Muslims anywhere in the world. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. What can we do? That's the question in everyone's mind. Feel helpless. You want to do something. Especially a young man. You know, young men want to do something. They want to get physically involved. They want to be the hero. And Allah has blessed people with this zeal. Now, I'll say firstly that if you have that frustration in you, whether you are young or old, male, female, whatever situation you're in, if you have this frustration in you that I want to do something and I'm frustrated I can't, that's a sign of Iman. That is a sign of Iman. That is a sign that you are a true believer. Because you are frustrated by the fact that you cannot protect the believers. Right? You're frustrated by the fact that you cannot protect the believers. This is a sign of Iman. So take some solace in that. But I want to end with just four things, four practical steps that each of us can do to do whatever little is within our power. Right? And there is not much within our power. Number one is to make dua. At every opportunity, make dua for them. Right? Especially with what's going on right now, perhaps even prioritize dua for them over your own self. You know, our worries and our hardships are trivial compared to what they are going through. Really, we have so much to be grateful for. Make dua every opportunity you get, and never lose hope in the fact that Allah is all-powerful, Allah controls everything, Allah can answer our duas. Number two, if you're financially able to, find a way to send aid to the Palestinians. you're able to send financial aid to the Palestinians as much as you can spare. But understand that the opposing side seems to have access to infinite aid, right? So we need to do our part to ensure that the Muslims are getting the aid they need as well. Number three, boycott any businesses or political parties that are siding with the oppressors. This is very important, right? That we have a zero tolerance for siding with oppression. So any business, any political party that is siding with the Zionists in the massacre of the Palestinian Muslims, boycott them. And these boycotts can be effective. We have proven in the past that they can be effective. So let us all make sure that we are being responsible and trying our best to do this. Number four, the fourth thing that we can do is to counter the false narrative being spread about Palestine. In whatever way you can, whether it's on social media, whether it's on a newspaper or radio station, whether it's at work with your colleagues, whether it's with students at school, wherever it is, be the voice of truth. Because right now, there is so much propaganda against Palestine that we have to be 24/7 working on countering it. There is just lies upon lies upon lies being spread by the media to make the Muslims look barbaric, to make the Muslims look like terrorists, to make the Muslims look evil. It's like, you know, 20 years ago all over again. And we have the power to counter this today. You know, 30 years ago, we didn't have the power to counter it. 30 years ago, anytime you're on the media, it's just the Zionist narrative with no sign of the opposing view. But now through social media, through Muslim news channels, through our own radio stations and TV stations, through our own blogs and websites, we have the power to provide the alternative voice. So use this. Use this to get the truth out there to as many people as possible. Because slowly, slowly the tide is turning. The tide is turning. If you look at the amount of people who supported Israel against Palestine 30 years ago compared to today, more and more people are becoming sympathetic towards the Palestinians because each year, more and more people are hearing the truth. So don't stop, because if we can turn this around, if we can show people the truth of what's going on, if we can help people realize the reality of the situation, then maybe within the next decade or two, there's a chance that the situation will turn around and we'll have victory. So the role we can play is in being those who propagate the truth and counter the false narrative out there. And it's not easy. It's not easy because there will be people who will come after you for this. There will be people who will call you names for this. Some people's jobs may be threatened for this. Some people's travel plans may be threatened for this. But this is our sacrifice, what we can do for the situation in this point in time. So try your best to do that. So again, four things that we can do to help the people of Palestine. We can send aid. We can boycott those who support their opponents. We can counter the false narratives in the media and social media. And finally, we can make dua. And we end with dua. We ask Allah to assist our brothers and sisters in Palestine and anywhere else in the world where Muslims are oppressed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant the Muslim Ummah strength and dignity and victory and political power. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore the Khilafah to the Muslim world and to grant the Muslim world the power and might that it once had, so Muslims can be protected from the enemies and can live in peace and within the boundaries of the Muslim world. We ask Allah to remove any obstacles between the rise of Islam in the Muslim world and elsewhere. We ask Allah to protect Muslims all over the world from oppressors and their enemies. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant solace to those who have lost their family members over the past few days in Palestine, and to put true faith and peace in their hearts, and to unite them all in Jannah together. اللهم انصر مجاهدين في كل مكان اللهم انصر مجاهدين في فلسطين اللهم انصر مجاهدين في فلسطين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اقم الصلاه